sudden deafness is a rare condition resulting in the loss of hearing in one, sometimes both ears, literally overnight. It happens without warning and unless treated quickly. Hearing can, in fact, be lost forever. James Bullen from RN's Health Report has been looking into the condition. Welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks, Hamish.
What's the typical experience of someone who has sudden deafness?
As you say, they go to bed, they wake up, and they've suddenly lost their hearing in one ear. And it's without warning. They're usually healthy. They haven't had a cold or anything like that. And usually maybe the only warning sign some people report is having tinnitus or a bit of ringing in their ears in the days before.
And so presumably people go off to the doctor when they wake up with this. Is it necessarily treated with the urgency that's required?
No, often not, because going to the doctor for a blocked ear is really common, and there's a bunch of different things that can cause that, infections, wax even build up in the ears. So it can be missed. The doctor might say, you know, go home, have a couple of days rest, see how it turns out. But that's where the problem lies, because the window for treating this sudden deafness or sudden sensory neural hearing loss, the technical name, is really short. It's only a couple of days.
So it can be dealt with quickly.
Yes, yes.
Right. So how does the condition impact people's quality of life, you know, if indeed it sort of sets in?
So, I mean, they've still got hearing in one ear, but it can be extremely debilitating in the sense that binaural hearing, both ears, it's very important for direction, for safety crossing roads, for having conversations with background noise, you know, to be able to distinguish someone's voice from what's going on in the background. And it can have a big impact on social isolation, someone's ability to work. I spoke to one sudden deafness patient, Helen, who told me about her experience.
It was frightening. I went with my husband. I went to the cinema. That was all right because it was loud. And then afterwards, we went out for dinner and it was just dreadful. The sound was bouncing off all the walls and it was actually making me feel dizzy. And I realised we were sitting there and I was just lip reading what he was saying, basically. So we finished up and went home. I work in an open plan office and you realise how much you need good hearing to hear what, especially what my team was saying to me. It was disorientating and I actually cancelled a couple of social events because I couldn't bear to go out of how I was feeling at the time.
So that sudden deafness patient, Helen, speaking there, do we know what triggers the condition?
In short, no. There's a few different theories around what might be causing it. And probably the main one is that it might be connected to some sort of heart condition or heart disease. So there might be swelling or inflammation that's occurring in the body and that's doing something to the inner ear. So it might be that it's disrupting the cochlea somehow. So that spiral-shaped cavity in the inner ear that translates vibrations outside to electrical signals for the brain. The other cause that we do know about is tumours, so benign tumours growing in the ear and on the auditory nerve, and we can see those on an MRI. But 90% of the time, we really don't know what's going on.
It's pretty terrifying for someone that gets it. What's the treatment?
So if you do get treated within that window, they do spot it early.
How long is the window?
So it's about 3 days. I mean, so it's steroids is the treatment and ideally within 3 days. It can be for up to 2 weeks, but the chances of getting it back diminish over time. So 3 days ideally. It's oral steroids that are taken and that's to try and reduce the inflammation. And there's another treatment which is more experimental. The evidence is more mixed on that. Hyperbaric oxygen therapy, so breathing pure oxygen. You go into a chamber and that's meant to increase the oxygen in your blood to promote healing.
All right. Also on the health report this afternoon, you're having a look at IVF success rates in Australia. Surprises there?
Well, success rates are going up, which is a good thing. But the sticking point or the issue around this new report is that we still can't tell what the differences are between different IVF clinics. So, you know, one could have a birth rate of about 10% and another could have a birth rate of about 30%. That's the top and bottom clinics. But there's no sort of league table to tell you what sort of treatment you're getting. There are complications around having a league table at all, because it could incentivize the wrong sort of treatment as well.
Right. Very complicated. So that's coming up on the health report this afternoon. James Bullen, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Hamish.
And you can hear more of both of those stories on the health report tonight at 5:30 p.m. right here on RN, or of course on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts from.